through this week. Praise the Lord. Just about the time the whole world is thinking, oh man, there's no hope for any of them. And we get four of them back, prime candidates. Praise the Lord. God is so good. And it's just an amazing, amazing thing. You know, I heard a song yesterday. I'd never heard it before, but it said something like, don't ever stop praying, right? And you can imagine those parents in this day celebrating with those young people and the older people as well, the return of these precious lives. Amen. Let's continue to pray. Yes. Can we just take a moment and pray for Israel? Yes. All right, would you stand together with me or kneel right where you're at? I'm just going to kneel right where I'm at because these are, you know, the Bible says that we have been grafted into the olive branch, right? Don't forget our history. Don't forget where we came from. We came from the Jewish lineage, if you will. Amen. We may not be Jewish by descent, might not necessarily be Jewish blood in you, but the fact that you're a Christian means you accepted the Messiah that was sent through the Jewish lineage. Amen. So could we just take a minute and pray for Israel today? Lord, we just stand with Israel and we just thank you, Father, today that you're moving mightily in the Holy Land. We thank you that you're moving mightily to bring peace to your people. Thank you for the peace you brought these families this week, Lord. And we stand for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of the Jewish people, that they might lead a quiet and peaceable life and discover their Jewish Messiah, their Messiah given to them, the deliverer for their lives. Let the gospel break forth in that land as never before to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to say this. I can't believe it's June 9th. It's amazing to me. Each week I do these song sheets that we pass out for people that sit behind the pole. You know, the folks that are right up this way and right up this way, and they can't see the screen. And so, you know, I was doing the label on last night's sheet, and I typed in, I had erased May 26th, and I put in June 9th. I thought, it just can't be. So since the year is rushing to Christmas, right? Let me just say this for you. It's easy to get out of the habit of giving. It's a very easy habit to get out of. But the Lord wants you to be constantly reaping. And in order to be a constant reaper, you've got to be a constant sower. Yes. Amen? So keep that muscle strong. People that do a lot of weightlifting and things, they know that you've got to constantly be stretching. And the word stretch just came to mind this morning when I was thinking about the offering. We have to be constantly stretching our faith, amen, to see greater harvest in our lives. That's not a push like you'd expect from a pastor, you know, to get a bigger offering. No, it's for your blessing. I'm looking for your harvest. Paul said, I'm not looking for something to receive from you, but I'm looking for a harvest that will go to your account. Amen. And if you're not happy with your harvest, you've got to do something about your sowing, right? If a farmer sows an acre of corn and he goes, oh, gee, I went to market, you know, this past year and only had an acre, you know, so much corn to sell at the market. Well, what's he got to do next year? He's got to buy more land, dig out, you know, prepare the land and sow more seed. Amen. To get a bigger harvest. Amen. So it's not complicated, folks. I think I could teach this to a five-year-old. I really do. God's just real simple in his math and how things work. And he's not playing favorites. Aren't you glad? Anybody can apply this principle. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, bountifully, reap generously, bountifully. Amen? It's the laws he set in place. Amen? So I want to encourage you to stretch your faith muscle between now and the end of the year and see what God will do for you. Amen? This is about you. This is why I'm saying this. We're doing fine. Our offerings are good. We're making it. Things are good. But I need to see a greater harvest in my own life. And so I'm going to have to do what I'm telling you to do. I'm going to have to sow with greater faith. Are you ready to do that today? Yes. Amen. It can start today. You may not have come prepared to do that today, but if you set your heart to do it, God will put seed in your hand. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. Amen. Amen? He'll actually literally put the seed in your hand to sow. And as you're faithful in that, you'll get a greater harvest, greater harvest, greater harvest. It'll just keep coming back to you all year long. Amen. We've got from now till Christmas to see an amazing harvest. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give today in your house. We want to worship you with our giving. Lord, as we do this, we just thank you that you bless us according to your word. You open the windows of heaven, pour us out a blessing we cannot contain. And we receive that today with thanksgiving, with joy and expectant hearts in the days ahead. Thank you for the harvest of 2024 you promise us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need an offering envelope, Let me say this too about the word of the Lord as I preach this morning. The word of God and the word of Christ to your heart and to mine doesn't make sense. It makes faith. Don't look for the word to make sense. Look for the word to make faith. What I mean by that is don't sit there and try to logically interpret everything that's being said. Listen for the voice of the Spirit to quicken something in you to cause faith to arise. That's where you want to meet the word of God right there, is faith arising in your heart. Amen. The word should produce faith in you. It does not have to make sense to your brain. I don't understand how air conditioning works. I even worked for an air conditioning company years ago. I still couldn't get it. Guy gave me a book this thick. I took it home. I didn't read it, of course, but it was boring. And I did not understand air conditioning a bit, but I know air conditioning works. I take in air conditioning. I receive it constantly because I don't like Houston humidity. I like cool in the summer. Amen. So I receive air conditioning. I don't have to understand up here how it works. You don't have to understand up here how God works in your life, even from what's being said from the pulpit. But you do have to receive it by faith.
That's right.
You do have to say yes to it in your heart. Amen. So I encourage you to do that this morning as you hear the word of the Lord. This is why sometimes our body and our mind tries to go to sleep on us, even in the best church service. Why is that? Because your mind is trying to reason things logically. Honestly, some of the best services I've been in, when I leave it, I'm exhausted. Why? Because the things of the Spirit don't make sense to the mind, and they are warring against my flesh. It's two against one, your spirit man versus your mind and your body. Amen? So you got to determine to let your spirit rule. Be spirit dominated, not body dominated, not brain dominated. Be spirit dominated. That's what we're called to be. Amen?
Amen.
We're called to be spirit-led people, not body-led people, not brain-led people, spirit-led people. Praise the Lord. Well, I've been hearing over and over again lately, let's pray, then we'll get into the meat. That was all just appetizer, all right? Father, we thank you today for your presence. Thank you for your Spirit here as our teacher, our guide, our help. Lord, help us navigate this thing we call life. Help us and teach us and anoint us to hear your word, Lord. I thank you for the words of life coming forth from your Holy Spirit today. Thank you that the anointing is upon this word. It's upon my words by the Holy Spirit to bring life and to set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I keep hearing this message, and of course, Terry and I did a little flying this week, coming back, going to and from the conference we were at out of state. And of course, they always reiterate that little speech they give at the beginning of the flight, you know, that nobody listens to. And everybody's reading and doing stuff and putting their iPods in their ears or stuff in their ears, and we don't use iPods anymore, but people are not paying attention at all. But they get to that part where if the plane should have trouble, the oxygen mask will drop from the ceiling. And I always perk up on that part. I gotta tell you, I want a refresher course on that every time I fly. I don't want to forget how that oxygen mask thing works. But you know that they always stress, if you have children with you on the flight, what do? You put the mask on yourself first, right? Moms and dads, you all know this story, right? Why? So that you can help those that are near you that need help. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just keeps reminding me lately over and over. It just keeps coming back, not just from flying in the natural, but just the word that I keep getting is that we need to keep the oxygen mask on. What I mean by that is be spiritually responsible. Be spiritually responsible. You'll never be able to shake your fist at God when you get to heaven and say, well, I burned out in my Christian walk. I just burned out, and it's your fault. It won't fly in heaven. If you burn out in life, it's because you've neglected some spiritual discipline, reading your Bible, going to church, praying in tongues, spending time in worship in your prayer closet. If you and I neglect the spiritual things, the gifts he's given us to keep us strong and healthy spiritually, we cannot blame God for our burnout. You've got to keep the oxygen mask on yourself. Amen? You may not want to hear it, but it's true. We all use cell phones. We all understand the necessity to keep those little boxes charged, right? Mm-hmm. Or what's going to happen? A little red light will come on, say zip, or it makes that weird squealy sound as it's dying in our just about the time you're about to make an important phone call, or you're in the middle of one, right? Because you neglected to recharge. Listen, we have been given a gift as New Testament believers. It's called speaking in other tongues, other languages, if you will. If you don't want to use the word tongues, just say languages. Self-edification through speaking in tongues is a unique New Testament privilege, unique to us.
Yes.
Amen? What an awesome thing. Do you know the Bible says that even angels long to look into this?
Yes.
The things that you and I get to participate in, angels in heaven are interested in. You know, for eons of time, they've been there. They've seen things, unspeakable things in heaven. They've seen all of Ezekiel's vision with the wheel within the wheel. They've seen these four-faced creatures that look like lions and men and eagles and all this. They've seen all that. And yet they long to look into your life and go, here's a human being who's speaking the mysteries of God. And listen, Charlie, they're even speaking the dialect of your hometown there in heaven. The Bible says that when I speak in tongues of men and of angels. Did you know that sometimes when you speak in tongues, you're speaking angelic dialects? And the Bible tells us clearly in 1 Corinthians 14, we're speaking the mysteries of God. Yeah. Things angels know nothing about, even though they have an open vision. What do I mean by that? They see in the spirit realm. They see it all. We see it by faith. They see it to their natural eyes, or their spirit eyes. However that goes. They see it. They see things openly, but yet when we speak in tongues, the Bible says we are declaring the mysteries, things they have not seen, things they have not heard yet. Are you with me?
Yes.
We need to see speaking in tongues as a privilege, not a have to, but a get to. You get to speak in tongues. You get to do things that everybody in the Old Testament would have loved to do. Isaiah prophesied about it. He said, with stammering lips, you will speak to these people. 700 years before Jesus, he said that. I wonder what, you know, immediately after he said it, I wonder if he thought, what is that talking about? He didn't get to experience it. You do. Amen? It's a privilege. The Apostle Jude said this in the famous verse we always quote when we talk about speaking in tongues. He says, praying in the Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, right? Jude 19 and 20, right? If you notice the context in which he said that, it's what? It's the last days. In the verses before and after that, he's talking about evil men who slip in, deceivers who slip into church life and have wrong motives. And he's talking in the context of the last days. Folks, if there's ever a time we need to speak in tongues and recharge ourselves, now more than ever in these last times, you need to stay recharged. Keep the oxygen mask on. Jesus gave us everything we need for these times. Don't ever start to feel, oh my goodness, the world's just going to pot and I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I've got to prep. I've got to store. I've got to buy this. I've got to buy that. No, you need to speak in tongues.
Yes.
You need to charge yourself up to where you rise above this world.
Amen.
You're so drunk with the air of heaven, you don't even think about the darkness of this world. You're oblivious to it. You say, well, I can be so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. No, you can't be that heavenly minded. When you're that heavenly minded, you'll be earthly good.
Amen.
And it comes by being built up in your spirit. Listen, I know this is new for some of us. Again, we've all lived our life according to our brain, according to our body. It's time to live according to the spirit.
Amen.
You're going to need to learn to do that in these last days. We all have to, not just the preacher.
Yes.
You can't just lean on me. You got to walk by the spirit.
Yes.
You got to know when the Holy Spirit's saying, no, don't take that turn. Take this exit. And your brain says, I don't know why. Why, Lord? No, you got to learn to hear that voice in here and just obey it and follow it.
Right.
It may be crucial. It may be a life or death matter in some cases. Amen?
Amen.
Following the Spirit. Okay, now turning your Bibles to Psalm 32. I have a good word for you today from the Lord. That was all just exhortation. Coach time. Coach time with his players. Pastor time. The sheep. Psalm 32. Last week we talked about so great a salvation. And we told you about how the new covenant is different from the old covenant. And David expresses here in Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. I want to start there, even though that's not our focus today, but I do want to reiterate what we shared with you last week. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. We said this, that David was looking ahead to a time in which when people sinned, the sin would not be recorded against them. That was not his time. Paul said in Romans chapter 4, he quotes this verse, and he says, David speaks of the blessedness of this man to whom the Lord will not impute. And what did we say impute means? It's an accounting term. It means to record, to make record of. Right?
Yep.
Accountants are real good at that, taking note of every little detail. And what he's saying here is there's coming a time, David looked ahead in time and he saw in his spirit a time that the day and age you and I are living in, in which when we sin, our sin is not recorded. Does that mean I can go out and sin all I want, Pastor? No. Not unless you want to just open the shutters, open the windows and the doors for the devil's activity in your home, which is like inviting a raging bull into your living room with no morals and no qualms about destroying your beautiful coffee table and TV and everything else. See, when you sin, you open the door. You open the door to the devil to come in and destroy. It's not God punishing you. You can't sin and then say, oh, well, God got even with me. No. David said here, there's coming a time, and we're in that time. In which our sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, or who the Lord does not count his sins against him. We're in that day. Why? Because of Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's that much better than the blood of bulls and goats and sheep in the old covenant. Amen. That's the day we're living in.
Amen.
It's a better covenant. And we said also that the focus of the Bible is, it's real simple. If someone ever asks you, what's the Bible really about? Jesus.
Yes.
And what was Jesus's mission? Salvation or redemption, our redemption. That's the whole story of this book from cover to cover. Genesis to Malachi and Matthew on. This book is a revelation of Jesus.
Yes.
And that's why you'll see time and time again in the Old Testament, you'll see symbolisms that represent Jesus. One example in Numbers, I think it's 35. Yeah, Numbers 35, the whole chapter, it's talking about cities of refuge. God said if you ever accidentally kill someone, instead of their relative being able to come and avenge that person's life against you, you can run to a city of refuge and you'll be safe there against the avenger. That's a picture of Jesus, a city of refuge. He is a place of shelter from the death that would normally be ours. Amen? Because of sin. Again, just a picture. That's just one symbol. And it's all through the Old Testament. Amen? Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. The tabernacle points to Jesus. The Ark of the Covenant points to Jesus. The sacrificial system points to Jesus. It all points to Jesus.
Amen.
It's not hard. A five-year-old can understand that. This book is about Jesus. And Jesus' mission was our redemption or our salvation. Amen? It's that simple.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, verse 1 and 2, that's talking about you and I. Blessed is the man. Say, I'm that man.
I'm that man.
I'm that man. I'm living David's dream. Do you realize you're living David's dream? He saw ahead to a people that when they sinned, because he knew all of humanity sins. But there's coming a group of people unique in history. Why? Because we're under the blood of Jesus. That in our day, when we sin, our sin won't be recorded. Why? Because it's washed.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Now, you still need to repent of sin. That does not negate your responsibility to repent. When you blow it and you know it, you better deal with it.
Amen.
Hezekiah turned himself to the wall in repentance and cried out to God, and God gave him 15 more years of his life. He dealt with his sin. Jesus told a parable of a man in the temple who cried out and beat his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You need to respond appropriately when you recognize your sin.
Yes. Yes.
Why? Because you need to get that out of your life so it doesn't reoccur. It doesn't become a habit, a habitual part of who you are. I said last week that, you know, we have these terms for different things, you know, a drug addict or a sex addict or this addict or that addict. The word addict just simply means you're good at it. And we're good at sinning sometimes, but that's why you repent. Repent means I disagree with this.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was going east, now I'm going west. Amen. I make a change.
Mm-hmm.
I turn from that which is wrong.
Amen.
And it's important to repent as well. But know this, your sin is not held against you because of the new covenant. Now that was last week's message, and I think it was pretty good. But let's go down to verse 7. Let's talk about this week, all right? This is the word of the Lord to us this week. So if you need a fuller taste of what I just shared, go back and listen to the message. It's there on our website. Verse 7, this is a beautiful verse. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Selah means hit the pause button. I got to think about this for a moment. It's a musical term that simply means let's pause here. Let's don't keep just going along. And the writer here says this, thou, King James, thou, or you are my hiding place. You are my hiding place. Jesus is the only true security in this world. You can start to feel like trouble's coming on, and we can run to things. We can run to people. We can run to things that help us feel secure, but they're not truly secure. Why? Because they can't save you from that trouble. They can only mask it. It's like the ostrich that sticks his head in the sand, right? He's not really dealing appropriately with the trouble that he's afraid of. He's just not seeing it. He's closing his eyes to it. And so many things that we turn to in the flesh can mask the trouble that we feel. But the writer here says, thou, who's he talking to? Jesus. You, Lord, you are my hiding place. And Jesus is the only true place of refuge and security for us. Amen for the believer. Listen, you can have your favorite comfort food, your favorite comfort hobby. That's okay. The Lord knows those things bring you joy, and he gives you those things richly to enjoy. But listen, when there's trouble about, don't run to those things. They can't save you. They can only mask the pain. They can only put blinders on your eyes so you don't see the trouble you don't want to face. But they are not your true refuge. He alone is. Thou. You. You are my hiding place. When you see this phrase, hiding place, when you see the psalmist, anytime you're reading through the book of Psalms, you see phrases like, my rock, my shield, my high tower, my hiding place. Know this, those all point to this idea of being in Christ. Hey, saints, we're there. Amen. We're in the tower. Right. We're behind the shield. We're behind the rock. Amen. We're in the hiding place. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're there. Every time you read the Psalms and you see those phrases, say to yourself, that's in Christ. I'm there. I'm in the hiding place. I'm in the secret place of the Most High. I'm in the shelter of the rock. What is a rock? It's an impenetrable obstacle that the enemy can't break through. Amen. And we're there because we're in Christ. Amen. So take these Old Testament phrases, always identify them. Make sure you're identifying properly. They're talking about being in Christ. Again, David and these people that wrote these Psalms, they saw glimpses of what you and I get. We're there. We're in Christ. They were looking ahead. They used these poetical terms, but they had no idea. They couldn't express fully what we would be experiencing in our day, and that is we're hidden in Christ. Colossians 3:3 says, you died, and your life is now hidden with God in Christ. That's a mystery, but you're in Christ. I know many of you have seen this illustration. It's a great illustration. If I took a bookmark, or in this case, the Kleenex, stick it here in my Bible, and close the Bible, where's the Kleenex? You can't see it because it's in the book. It's in there. You're in Christ. You're hidden in him. When he talks about, Lord, you are my hiding place, we're there. Amen. We're in Christ. He is our place of refuge. Amen. Our place of safety, our high tower. Hebrews 6:18 in the New Testament says it this way. We have fled to taking hold. We have fled to taking take hold of him for our refuge. I'll get that out here. We have fled to take hold of him for our refuge. Listen, some people say, oh, you Christians, you know, you just lean on Jesus like a crutch. Yes. Absolutely. And a wheelchair and a bandage and a splint and a heart monitor. He's our everything. Amen. And when you need him, he's there. This world, in case you hadn't noticed, is a very dangerous place. There's nothing wrong with having the right mentality to say, Lord, you are my escape from the darkness of this world. Lord, you are my protection from the evil in this world. Amen. We need protection. There's a bunch of zombies out there. They're being devil-possessed and devil-actuated. I witnessed to one of them on the plane the other night. He was about to pound my face. Terry was over there, and she looked over at me like, what are you doing? She heard him cussing at me. I'm just telling you, there's some people out there, they're being driven by devils. He was about as big as Jake and wider. And I felt like the Lord had a word for him, so I gave it to him. And he didn't appreciate it. A while later, I put my headphones back on. He looked at me like, he just ignored me and put his earphones back in his ears. And I thought, okay, I guess that means shut up. So I put my headphones on. I just said, Lord, get him. And a few moments later, he tapped me on the shoulder. And I looked over my shoulder, took my headphones off. And he told me in not so many nice words to mind my own business both now and forever. And I was about to say something else, but I felt like it might lead to violence, so I thought I'd just leave it at that. But I'm just telling you, there's people out there, they're being driven by devils. And the world is a dangerous place. And Christians, listen, it's not cowardice to say, Lord, you're my hiding place. It's a very evil world out there. And, you know, if you had your child at the playground or at the park, and there was a rattlesnake or any kind of snake for that matter in my book, any snake out there in the thick grass near where your child is playing, you'd rush to protect that child. Why? Because the park is a place of safety. It's supposed to be fun. How many of you know this life is supposed to be fun? For us as children of God, we're supposed to have a great time. And we can have a great time, but we can only have a safe great time when Jesus is our refuge. Amen. I'll leave it at that. Look at verse 7, the next part. You will preserve me from trouble. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. I like the word protect because it starts with pro. What does the prefix pro refer to? It means to be for, right? Provision, protect. God is for us. You say, well, Pastor, I just haven't been that good, well-behaved this week. I'm telling you, he's in your imperfection. He's working on you. Just don't worry about it. He's perfecting you. You'll get there. But his commitment to us is to protect us because he's for us. He's for us. Amen? And what does it say there in response? Because he's out to protect us, he does what? He compasses us about, he will compass us about with songs of deliverance. You say, what does that mean? What is a song of deliverance? It means at your lowest point, when you can go no further, when your energy is gone, your will is gone, your want to is gone. You know, when you get to physical exhaustion, I had a wall the other day because we were kind of flying back late in the night and rushed to the hospital, got home about 4 a.m, and it was just, the next day I kind of hit one of those walls where the sky is not blue, the birds are not singing pretty, and nothing in life feels right. You ever felt that way physically or mentally? Yeah. You hit a wall. And it's amazing what 24 hours worth of rest will do. I got up yesterday and I was like, the sky is so beautiful and blue, and the birds are singing so, I just love it here in Alvin, Texas. I did not feel that way the day before. But I'm telling you, when you hit that kind of wall, he'll be there. And he'll be there with a song. What does that song mean? It means he's there lifting you up, coaching you. Coaching you with songs of deliverance. What is he doing? He's steering us towards salvation. Because he's all about our salvation. He's all about our rescue. He's all about setting you out of that place of danger, getting you into the good life again. Amen. So when you need it, he'll be there. You know, I always use this illustration of when Jesus was carrying his cross through Jerusalem, and it says that the Romans picked a man named Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross for Jesus. And, you know, to me, that is such a beautiful picture of when we need the grace of God. Jesus was obviously whipped beyond his ability to carry that cross any longer on his shoulder. You can imagine if your back was ripped open and just the flesh wide open and the, you know, muscles and things just tore. And you know, to carry that heavy, rough, rugged tree any further, he couldn't do it anymore. And Simon comes along, the Romans grab him and say, you carry it for him. It's a picture of the grace of God. Jesus had to finish his race, but he physically was beyond his capability to do it. Simon enabled him to do it. Simon is a picture of the grace of God. And when you need it, the Lord will be there with a song of deliverance. He's lifting you up. He's doing what? He's putting words in your mouth to fulfill what you need faith to fulfill. Hallelujah. Isn't God so good? He sings into our spiritual ears what we need to say with our mouth, the declaration of faith. Paul said it this way in Romans 10. He said, the word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith we are proclaiming. Why? Because God can only authorize what you authorize. He can only back up what you authorize through your faith. You've got to express your faith. You've got to sing out. You've got to speak out your faith in those moments for him to lift you. You're authorizing God to lift you and deliver you when you respond with an echo, if you will, of what he puts in your ear. He sings his songs of deliverance in our ears so that we can authorize his salvation. Amen? So I ask you today, what's in your wallet? I mean, what's in your mouth? Right? What's in your mouth? What's coming out your mouth? You can always tell what you've been listening to by what's coming out your mouth. Amen. Right? You listen to a complaining radio all day, you'll be complaining. You listen to edification of the word, good biblical teaching, you'll be speaking the blessing of God out of your mouth. Amen? What's in your mouth? Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking or singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So I have to ask you this. If you've lost your song, I wonder where you left the Spirit. Because see, God's always happy. He's not insensitive. You know, sometimes we go through difficult times, sad times. It doesn't mean God's just going to be there blathering a Three Stooges tune in our ear, just, you know, silly, goofy, and not being considerate. No, but God is never without the victory. He's always in the victory. He's always got joy. He's always got peace reigning in his heart. And so he always speaks from that place. And he always sings into our ear that voice of faith and victory. He always causes us to triumph. Amen. He always causes us to triumph. And you say, well, Pastor, I can't walk around all the time singing, you know, just singing. Why not? Why can't you be filled with the Spirit all the time? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to prove to you through Scripture that what I'm saying is doable. In fact, it's expected. Hebrews 13, verse 15. He surrounds us with songs of deliverance. Hallelujah. And so, Hebrews 13, verse 15 says this. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Lips that confess the name of Jesus ought to be doing what? Offering continual praise. That's what that verse is saying. Let us, through Jesus, let's read it again. Through Jesus. How? Through Jesus. The one who won the victory for us. Amen? The one who conquered all for us. Let us continually, say continually, you ought to circle that word, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. We're called to live heaven before we go to heaven. You can write that down if you like. It's good. We're called to live heaven here on earth before we actually go to the place called heaven. And how do you live heaven? You let his song rule in your heart. Like this verse is talking about. Continually, a voice of praise coming off your lips. You might be in the midst of battle. You might be in the midst of terrible, terrible times. You can change what's around you by what's coming out of you. I said you can change what's around you by what's coming out of you. You can't completely control the flow of what's around you, but you can have complete say of the flow within you. Yeah. You cannot control all the time the flow of what's happening around you in life, but you can constantly be in charge of the flow that's coming out of you.
Yeah.
Paul said it this way, I'm hard pressed, but I'm not crushed.
Right.
I picture a submarine that's gone way beyond its normal limit. Mm-hmm. You know, they have limits, right? They can only go down so deep. They're built for, engineered for certain depth, pressures, you know, at different depths in the ocean. They can't go below that or it'll do what? It'll crush them. Paul said, I'm very hard pressed. I feel like I've gone to the, you know, to the depths, and I'm actually, you know, what do they call that? Going outside the envelope, so to say, of what I can withstand. He said, I feel that, but there's some good buts in the Bible. And that's one of them. But I'm not crushed.
Amen.
I'm hard pressed, but I'm not crushed. David said it this way. He prepares a banquet in the midst of my enemies.
Yes.
You can feel like everyone in the room hates you, and you still have a song in your heart.
Right.
Why? Because you're accepted in the beloved.
Yes.
I don't need anybody else to make me feel accepted except Jesus.
Right.
Ain't it great?
Amen.
That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah.
The affirmation of one. I play to an audience of one. What a free life to live. To say, I'm only out to please one. If I make him happy, the world's happy. Right? He surrounds us with songs of deliverance. What does that word deliverance mean? In the Hebrew, it speaks of escape or liberation. It's actually a kind of an analogy term used to speak of a child coming forth out of the womb. It's that picture of being delivered into this world. He surrounds us with songs that help us escape and songs that help us be liberated. Amen. From the womb, David said, you've even carried me. David said, I was cast upon you, Lord, from the womb. In other words, I was made to trust in you. I'm so vulnerable in this life. But even when I was born, I was born trusting you.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, folks, he's trustworthy.
He is.
He's trustworthy. He surrounds us with songs. You know, there were times in my life, there was a wilderness experience I went through back in about 1996 to 2000. And it was about a 4 or 5 year period. Actually, things started getting really, really better by about 2000, 2001. And they started to pick up. But there was a really dark season in our life there where I just felt like, and I can see it very clearly now looking back, the Lord just constantly surrounded us. Even the songs that came into our home, we would hear songs on the radio and buy CD. Well, back then it was cassette tapes still. And some CDs, yeah. And we were getting, songs were just, we were in such a low spot. And yet, even in the midst of our struggles as a family, Terry and Rachel and I, God was surrounding us with these wonderful songs, praise and worship songs, radio songs. You Bless Me by Dan, what's the guy's name? Thank you, Rachel. Seize the Day by Carolyn Ahrens. I mean, these wonderful songs. There's some amazing songs that God would just fill our life with. Why? What was he doing? He was putting faith back in our heart when we had none. He's putting grace into our life when we felt like we had none. And so I just want to encourage you today that the Lord does this for us when we go through difficult times. I can't remember a time as a child that my mom wasn't singing Christian songs around me. She got saved when I was 5 or 6 years old, and my mom needed that. I got to tell you, she grew up in a nice, on the outside, a nice, wholesome American family from the Midwest, but she was totally lost until she was, goodness, I guess maybe late 20s, early 30s when she got saved. But when she got saved, she got a hold of Jesus. And she got a hold of every charismatic chorus that ever came down the pike. I mean, she was constantly singing them around the house and teaching them to me and singing them in my ear, singing them when we're driving, until it almost drove me nuts. But she needed that. And I benefited from it. She was filled with songs of deliverance. Why? Because God was pulling her out of, you know, once you get saved, it ain't over.
That's right.
Right? Sometimes there's a bunch of junk to get out of your life. And the Lord just will come. And it's like a coffee cup with the dried coffee in it. It's nasty. It just needs a good washing out. And you got to run that thing under the faucet or run it under some good hot water and get down there and scrub it. God does that in our life. I'm telling you, saints, he's doing it in all of our lives. There's just junk in us that needs to come out. And he's so faithful. What does he do? It's in the New Testament, we call it grace. The Old Testament word was songs of deliverance. It's the same thing. Amen. It's Simon the Cyrene carrying the cross for us. It's the Holy Ghost coming into our life and saying, I know you can't seem to get your act together, but here, let me just whisper into your ear these words of life. Lift you up. It's a song of deliverance. He puts his deliverance in our ear so it'll come out of our mouth and he can authorize it. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord.
Praise.
What is a song? A song is praise. A song is a refocus. A song is a revelation. A song is a solution in our mouth. God puts the solution. You think you're just jamming to KSBJ and you really like that song. No, God put that song in your path to deliver you, to lift your faith, to get you out of the molly grubs, to get you on the faith walk. Amen. God's putting you on a path. It's called songs of deliverance. It's revelation. Amen. Aren't you glad for revelation?
Yes.
Let's look at one other verse and we're going to wind down here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12:15. Now I'm going to read to you from the New International Version. I like this translation for this verse. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it." See to it. It means you've got to do something about this. Right? You have a role to play. "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Folks, we have a responsibility. "See to it" means you've got to attend to this. Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Yes, you are. If you're connected to the body of Christ, you get all the benefits of people who will pray for you, love you, help you, put money in your pocket, bless you, bless your kids, pray for your kids. You get that all that benefit from being connected to the body. You've got a responsibility.
Amen.
And what's the responsibility? He says here, "See to it that no one misses God's grace." That's why it's important to come to church. Because you can tell as you talk to your neighbor, your brother, your sister around you, you can tell before the service and after service talking to them whether they're walking in the grace of God or they've had a terrible week. You can hear it in their words. And you can steer them back toward the grace of God. He says, "See to it. No one misses this." What? The grace of God. Because what happens when we miss the grace? We hit a wall. You say, "I've got such and such in my life. I just can't seem to make this work." You're not leaning on the grace. The Holy Spirit's like oil, right? Why do we anoint people with oil here at the altar? Why do we touch you with a little dab of oil? Just we like to walk, you know, laugh at you because your head looks wet after church? No, it's because the oil represents the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You got to have oil in a car engine. You got to have oil in your life.
Yes.
You got to have the Holy Ghost help in everything. Yes. If you're hitting a wall on something in your life, you're not leaning on grace. What do? You just stop, drop, and roll. You say, "Jesus, help me here. I'm going to design a t-shirt one of these days that says, pray first."
Yeah.
Pray first.
Yeah.
Why? Because we do everything in our own strength first, and then we get frustrated, and you hit a wall, and you start getting, and you start getting bitter. And next thing you know, your bitterness is spilling over to your kids, your wife, your dog, your cat, you're kicking the cat, you know, everything, because you're missing the grace of God in your own life. Like the song says, oh, what peace we often forfeit, right? If we would just stop and say, Lord, help me. I need your grace. And he'll be there for you. The grace of God will keep you from hitting that wall. Naomi was a character in the Old Testament. Her name means pleasant. She's in the story of the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is a real short book in the Bible. You can go home today and read the book of Ruth just while you're eating lunch. I mean, it's really short, 6 or 7 chapters, whatever. 4. I mean, it's no excuse. Come on. 4 chapters. Go home and read the book of Ruth. Naomi starts off in the beginning of the book. She's just so upset. She's lost her husband. She's lost her 2 son-in-laws. And she's going back to her land, Israel. She had left Israel temporarily because there was a famine. Now she's going back, and she's going back empty-handed, and she's really just bitter about life. As she walks into the town, the people of the town look at her and say, is that Naomi? Obviously, the countenance on her face had been so altered by life's... You ever been there? Life will try to alter your countenance. I'm determined the older I get, the happier I look. So if you're not happy with my face this year, just stick around. It'll be happier next year than this year. Amen. I'm not going to be a grumpy old man. I refuse it. What? You're holding me to it. Suppose I'll have to do it then. I refuse it. I refuse it. And Naomi said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter. Because God has made my life bitter, is what she said. Grace prevents bitterness. Grace will keep your countenance looking young, happy, amen, vibrant. Walking in the grace of God. What am I saying? I'm not trying to lift up a standard you can't reach. He gives grace to the humble. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is release the song. He's singing his song around you. Do you not hear it day and night? I mean, you got, you know, people encouraging you, texting you, saying how much God's for you. He's pro you. Say, he's pro me. That'd be a good t-shirt too. I don't know. Maybe I should start a t-shirt business. I don't know. I just always think of these. Pro me. God is pro me. He's for me.
That's right.
And he's constantly trying to get his word in our ear so we'll speak it out and get the victory. Amen. Songs of deliverance. He's so good. Find the grace of God. I just want to encourage you, find the grace of God if you're hitting a wall in some area of your life. Look to him. Don't be discouraged. This is the trouble sometimes when we hit failure time and time again. The next thing that happens is we get discouraged and we think, and then we get cynical. This will never improve. This is just the way it is. No, you don't. You've bit the apple at that point. You've become like Naomi. You've become bitter. His grace is always there for us. Grace is the power to do and the power to be. Amen? And it, again, just the picture of the guy carrying the cross for Jesus. Jesus had to finish his race. You know, you see, we've seen these great stories during the Olympics, or you've seen stories of athletes who, you know, they hit a wall and they hit the ground, and somebody comes and puts their shoulder, you know, around them and helps them get across the finish line. That's what grace does for us. The grace of God. This is what a song of deliverance will do in your ear. As you hear it, as you hear the Holy Ghost's voice in your life, it will lift you. Amen. Stand together with me.
Hallelujah.
This is why when Paul closed the books that he wrote in the Bible, the highest blessing he could say to God's people was this. It sounds real simple. It sounds churchy. It sounds like something a preacher should say, but there's so much power in it. He would say something like this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Yes.
What was he talking about? The empowerment that Jesus experienced. Again, Jesus in his weakness. Jesus was about, do you realize this? Jesus was about to fail his mission. How about that? To be able to get through the prayer time in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, yes, Father, not my will, but yours be done. To go through the crown of thorns, the beating, the spitting, the pulling out his beard. To go through all that and think he got halfway through Jerusalem and stumbled beneath the weight of the cross. And he would have failed his mission had not Simon been there. That's the grace of the Lord. When Paul said that to the church, he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He was saying, the same grace that Jesus experienced that enabled him to finish his race, be yours. Be yours. It's there for us, saints. There's not going to be one person in hell that's going to be able to shake their fist at God and say, you didn't do for me. God is constantly trying to reach out to humanity. He's constantly. The Bible says he puts his wonder in the heavens, right? He's always testifying to humanity about his goodness and his grace. It's there for us if we'll reach out and receive it. Amen. Will you reach out and receive it today? Just reach out in prayer with me. Come on, let's give our hearts to the Lord. Lord, there's so many areas still yet in need in our life. So many areas, Lord, in which we are failing again and again and again and haven't seen the victory yet. But we know that you encompass us with songs of deliverance. You put the victory sound in our ear. You put the victory triumph in our very ear so we can echo it with our words and our faith. And Lord, we thank you today as we reach out by faith that you are pouring into us the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to do and to be all that we need to do in this life. Hallelujah. Lord, we are those on whom the ends of the earth have come, and we will shoulder our load in our generation to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world. Thank you for your grace in us today. Lord, I thank you that as we leave here, even as we leave here today, your very songs are surrounding us. Hallelujah. We receive it today. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here today with heads bowed for just another moment, you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus completely. I've never surrendered, never made him the Lord of my life. I want to be saved today. I want my sins washed away. And I want to just give my life fully to Jesus today. If that's you, or you say, I'm coming back to Jesus, I want to raise my hand and say, I've been away from Jesus. I've been out of fellowship with him, but I want to come back today. Is there anybody here at all? You say you're in either one of those situations. You want to give your life totally to Jesus. You've never done that before, or you're coming back to him today. I want to give you the opportunity to acknowledge that with an upraised hand. Would you just raise your hand real quick, and we're going to pray a prayer together to step into that fellowship once more. Anybody at all? Thank you, Lord. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Let's all pray this prayer together. Father, you're so good. Your name is holy. Your name is Father. And you uphold it in the highest way. You did not leave us without salvation. You sent your Son, your only Son, whom you deeply loved, to die in my place, to bear my sins on the cross. I thank you for dying, Jesus. I believe you died, you were buried, and on the third day raised to life. I call you my Lord, my Savior. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, folks, I just got to remind you this. So many truths in Christianity we think we know, but we really don't know it. You need to be saved every day. We need salvation every day. I know we're in a room full of faith here. I know we're in, for the most part, I think everybody here is a born-again Christian, saved. But you need saving every day. And when you hit a wall, when you hit a wall of frustration, you hit something you can't get over, it's time for salvation to come your way. It's time for the grace of God to be released towards you. Cry out for it. It's there. He gives it. Amen. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. The grace is there for you. Amen. We're going to be saved to our dying breath. We're going to be crying out for salvation every day of our life. My kids are driving me nuts, Lord. Help me. That's salvation. That dog, I just can't seem to train that dog. Help me. That's salvation. My neighbors, partying too late. That's salvation. We need listen, you're going to need saving every day of your life. Every day. And his grace is there for you. John said it this way in John chapter 1. The opening verses, he said, of his fullness have we all received grace upon grace upon grace. I'm telling you, your Father's full of grace for you. He's full of it. Not in a bad way. He's full of it. He's full of good stuff. He's just full of grace. And he has grace for every situation if you'll trust him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be blessed. Be graced. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this week. Amen. God bless you as you go.